The west bank of the Jordan River lies on Israel's eastern side, but is so large that it extends well into the middle of Israel itself. At its closest point, the West Bank's border is only 9 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. Half the city of Jerusalem, Israel's capital, lies inside this territory. If a hostile military force were to occupy the West Bank, it would control strategic airspace that now buffers against air and missile attacks, and it could position troops near the heart of Israel. A lightning invasion launched from the West Bank would easily cut the tiny nation of Israel into northern and southern halves within minutes, giving an enemy an enormous military advantage during a war. Following the 1973 Yom Kippur War against Israel, the communists could see that a People's Republic of Palestine would never replace Israel without first taking control of the West Bank, as well as of the Gaza Strip and Golan Heights, two other territories under Israeli control. Thus, in 1974, the ruling council of the PLO officially adopted a two-phase strategy for destroying Israel, in which an armed state of Palestine would be established in the West Bank and Gaza Strip before attacking the rest of Israel. PLO official Abu Iyad boasted in 1988 that, quote, "According to the phased plan, we will establish a Palestinian state on any part of Palestine that the enemy will retreat from. The Palestinian state will be a stage in our prolonged struggle for the liberation of Palestine on all of its territory," unquote. Because of the phased plan, the PLO claimed that it was willing to allow Israel to exist, if only temporarily, and that it only wished to create Palestine in the West Bank and Gaza. In other words, the PLO could now pretend to be moderate while actually stepping up the revolution. But to gain control of the territories in the first place, the PLO had to turn to the time-tested communist strategy of a war of national liberation. This has in fact been the PLO's master plan since the 1960s, and has recently taken the form of the Intifada, Arabic for the uprising, now seen in the riots of the West Bank and Gaza. A careful analysis of the Intifada reveals that it is indeed part of a classic seven-step communist revolution. Step 1. At a secret 1983 meeting of the PLO, Yasser Arafat explained that the PLO had followed the communist tactic of provoking a reaction by the target government, in this case Israel. As summarized by authors Neil Livingstone and David Halevy, quote, "The first phase, from 1967 to 1974, said Arafat, involved shocking the world by means of brutal terrorist acts into recognizing the Palestinian issue and placing it at the front of world concerns," unquote. Using the methods outlined by Brazilian communist Carlos Marighella, the PLO has forced Israel to invade Lebanon several times to stop artillery and missile attacks. By hiding its military installations in residential areas, the PLO has caused civilian deaths during Israeli retaliation, which the PLO has then blamed on Israel. Step 2. The PLO owns or operates dozens of newspapers and other publications in the Middle East, some of them written in English. It produces films labeled as documentaries, operates news services, and broadcasts numerous radio programs. It is known to bribe or threaten journalists covering the Middle East. It also maintains influence through organizations not widely known as PLO front groups. For example, Arafat's brother runs the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, while PLO-affiliated organizations calling themselves charities or educational groups are active in the United States. And leftist groups ranging from the National Lawyers Guild to various civil rights, feminist, and anti-nuclear groups also work with the PLO. As a result, the PLO and its allies have been able to plant stories in our news media about alleged Israeli atrocities against civilians, and have created the widespread impression that Israel systematically violates the human rights of Palestinians. By painting the revolution as a spontaneous uprising of Palestinians, the PLO has also convinced many Americans that Israel cannot hope to win the interminable conflict with the PLO. Such disinformation has eroded sympathy for Israel, setting the stage for further revolution. Step 3. With Israeli reputation having come under fire, the U.S. State Department has pressured Israel to begin making concessions to the PLO. When Israel invaded Lebanon in 1982, President Reagan rescued the PLO and forced Israel to abandon Beirut. The Bush and Clinton administrations have supported several United Nations resolutions against Israel, and President Clinton forced Israel to take back 400 Hamas terrorists after they had been expelled. Most importantly, the 26th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, held in 1982, began the call for an international Middle East peace conference where foreign powers could pressure Israel to yield the West Bank to the PLO. The United Nations adopted an identical plan the following year, and by 1987, the PLO and the Communist Parties of the United States, Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Tunisia, Syria, Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Lebanon, Morocco, and India had also adopted this plan. Now the U.S. government has followed suit, with the Bush and Clinton administrations having forced Israel to change its mind and participate in a series of such international conferences. Step 4. The Intifada was born from an extensive network of PLO front groups in the West Bank and Gaza, including medical, agricultural, and women's associations, as well as labor unions and student groups. The violence itself was sparked by the Islamic Jihad and the Palestinian Communist Party in 1986 and 1987, and soon a unified national leadership of the PLO was formed to coordinate the protests and riots. The revolution is now being accelerated through religious institutions, schools, and labor unions. Hamas, the so-called Islamic group of terrorists, organizes actions through the mosques. Many PLO members work as professors at the universities, where they indoctrinate Palestinian students. Schools and universities in the West Bank and Gaza have become such focal points for violence that Israeli authorities have been periodically forced to shut them down. Stores of knives and clubs have been found in the schools, used by radicalized students during riots, and guns and hand grenades are now becoming more common. Palestinian labor strikes are also on the rise. One pro-PLO professor noted that the PLO-dominated labor unions are, quote, a critical weapon in the hand of the Palestinian national movement. At a decisive moment, they could paralyze the Israeli economy, unquote. Step 5. As in any communist revolution, the PLO must use terrorism against the very people it claims to be liberating, in order to create an illusion of popular support for the Intifada. For many years, the PLO had already been directing many of its terrorist attacks against Palestinians and Arabs in general. In the Intifada, this violence is now used against Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. Terror squads, receiving money and orders from the PLO, Islamic Jihad, and Hamas, attack people they accuse of collaborating with Israel, although the PLO itself admits the majority of such accusations are false. As one journalist has described it, the purpose is purely to intimidate. Quote, Palestinians live in daily terror of these squads. Some common murder techniques are beheading, mutilation, gouging out eyes, cutting off ears or limbs, and pouring molten plastic or acid on a victim's face, unquote. Often the victim is shot or stabbed in broad daylight, in full view of Palestinian bystanders. Merchants who fail to close their shops when a strike is called, or who do not pay taxes to the PLO, have their shops burned to the ground. Buses that carry Palestinians to work in Israel are also burned, keeping the workers from earning the money to feed their families. Some 1,000 Palestinians have been killed by the terror squads, and many others injured. Step 6. As the PLO moves into the final stages of the revolution, it must begin negotiating for Israel's surrender of the territories while simultaneously escalating the violence. The PLO itself, and particularly Arafat's group Fatah, is playing the role of the moderate, sending delegations to the peace conference and asking only for the West Bank and Gaza. Islamic Jihad and Hamas, products of the Islamic Marxist movement, angrily condemned the peace meetings. The good cop, bad cop strategy was spelled out by a PLO official. Quote, Hamas says all of Palestine is ours and we want to liberate it from the river to the sea in one blow. But the PLO feels that a phased plan must be pursued. Both sides agree on the final objective. Unquote. Both sides also cooperate closely. The PLO has funded Hamas, for example, and some terror squads in the West Bank and Gaza are operated jointly by the PLO's Fatah with Islamic Jihad and Hamas. Step 7. The final step involves betrayal by the U.S. State Department, which pulls the rug out from under the target government and forces it to capitulate to the revolution. Under the Bush administration, the State Department issued a report whitewashing Yasser Arafat and Fatah of involvement in terrorism, while the administration itself showed open hostility to the conservative Shamir government, causing nervous Israelis to elect the far-left Labor Party under Yitzhak Rabin. The Clinton administration, likewise, exerted direct pressure on Israel to surrender territory to the PLO, although Clinton carefully avoided taking credit when the Rabin government finally agreed to give up the Gaza Strip and part of the West Bank. Although Arafat simultaneously boasted that the PLO flag will soon fly over Jerusalem, Israel's capital, the Rabin government has since made more concessions to communist Syria, promising to withdraw from southern Lebanon and the Golan Heights. The Clinton administration has meanwhile pressured Israel to disarm the Jewish settlers living in the territories and to allow the United Nations to send troops to protect incoming PLO forces. Naturally, the PLO-orchestrated violence will only accelerate as Israel surrenders more and more strategic land.